You are listening to Dauber Prospects Radio, episode 27. It's our off-season, so we're going to go through the entire league over the summer and give you guys some names to put on your late-round draft and keeper list. And we caught up with Shang Pang at the draft to get his thoughts on the Los Angeles Kings. So let's get started. Hey everybody, Paul Zwanbeck here. Welcome to episode 27 of Dauber Prospects Radio, the best and only fantasy hockey program dedicated to hockey prospects. The DPR show is produced every other week for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at dauberprospects.com. Come back often and subscribe to our show on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter at @DPR_show. I am with my co-host, Peter Harling, managing editor of dauberprospects.com. Peter, I think we can call it. It's officially the off-season.
Yeah, but I mean, for fantasy hockey, there really isn't ever an off-season. Development camps pretty much, I think, just all wrapped up. And there's some other training camps are coming up, and World Junior selection camps. There's always news in the off-season, and everyone's doing their fantasy drafts and getting ready for those. So because fantasy hockey doesn't take any time off, neither shall we.
That's right. So we're going to start our summer series, breaking down every team's top prospects to put on your radar this coming season. So let's get right to it. Two Western teams in our first segment, Winnipeg and Dallas. Let's go Jets first. Let's start right off the top, probably the biggest name they got in their prospect depth chart, Kyle Connor.
Yeah, so he's pretty widely owned across Fantrax leagues at 94%, but he only played 20 games in the NHL last year and had 5 points and was a -7. Played most of the season in the A with the Moose, and he put up a lot of points there. He was a prolific scorer in the lower levels coming from the USHL and the NCAA. He was a one-and-done in the NCAA, where he had 38 games in his freshman year and scored 71 points. So the scouting report on Kyle Connor, and I haven't seen a whole lot of this kid play, but so the scouting report on him is he's, you know, great skater, speed to burn, very, very skilled, lots of offensive vision. So these are all attributes that that translate very well to the way the NHL is played now. And he's got decent size too. He's 6'1", 183 pounds. So if you've got a keeper league and, you know, you're disappointed that you had Connor on your roster all last year and you're like, man, do I hold on to him? Is he going to make it or not? I would absolutely hold on to him. I'd find a way to make a space for him or at least trade him and recuperate on the asset if you can't fit him in your roster. He's going to make it next year, and I think he's going to play in a top six role. He should crack the Jets' top six, in my opinion.
Which the Jets' top six is looking pretty decent, so if he can crack that, that's definitely going to look good for Kyle Connor. Let's move on to Jack Roslovic.
Yeah, okay. So this is a player that had some options last year on where he was going to play. He left college so he could go to junior hockey, and the London Knights, I believe, are the team that owns his junior rights. So, and they're pretty good at recruiting players, right? So there was a good chance that he went and played there. Or he was able to turn pro and wasn't ready for the NHL and play in the AHL instead. So that's the route that he went. He did play one NHL game, didn't see a lot of ice time, didn't do anything of importance. But he played the majority of the season last year in the A, and he had 65 games played, 13 goals, 48 points. So he had a pretty good season. And he also played for USA and won gold medal at the World Juniors, but he only had 2 assists over there. So I'm not sure if he's quite ready to make the jump to the NHL. He's probably got another year of junior on his schedule. He's a center, so he's obviously behind Scheifele and Little on the depth chart. And then he's also got Lowry, Patan, Andrew Kopp, those kind of players to compete with. So no sense in rushing this kid. Let him percolate a little bit more in the AHL. So that's where I see Roslovic. He's a pretty high-profile prospect on the Jets team, so if you own him in a keeper league and you have prospect space, absolutely hold on to him. If he's on if he's on the cusp of your keeper list, then you've got a difficult decision to make. I wouldn't say that he's probably going to play in the NHL next year, so that's a tough one for me.
Yeah, and he's really well owned, 82% on Fantrax, which people are going to have to make a decision on that. So hopefully you have the space to keep him, and if not, maybe you have to look elsewhere. And that's kind of why we're rhyming off a lot of these players, is these guys are on the cusp or ready to be in an NHL roster spot. And I think Ross Lovic is almost ready, but maybe he plays half season. Maybe he gets halfway through the year, he gets like a 20-game call-up. But yeah, I definitely would keep him if you got the space.
If you own him, you can hit us up on Twitter and ask us and tell us what your roster is and your league size and rules and categories and all that, and we'll give you, because it really is subjective on your league size and your roster size if rather or not you keep him. He's kind of a tweener.
Yeah, and we have been getting a couple of tweets lately asking for some rankings of certain players on the roster, or should you keep this guy over this guy, and we've been answering, so make sure you send us Twitter, DPR_show is where you can do that, and we'll make sure to do it within a day or two. We can't be right on top of things, but we get to them pretty quickly, so yeah, send us your questions or rankings. Let's move on to a guy that's not very well owned and might not be very well known. Tucker Poolman, 14%.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we've spoke about him a couple times on the podcast before. So this is a guy that's coming out of the NCAA. He's 24 years old, 6'4", 216 pounds. Not a lot of prospect depth in competition with him on the Jets' blue line. So you got Trouba Bufflin, Morrissey Myers, that's your top four. And then you've got battling for the bottom position, Kulikov, Enstrom, and Ben Chiarot. So one of those guys is going to be in the press box. That probably means that they want Poolman to play, and he'll be in the AHL playing full minutes with the Moose. But he's a big, good skating offensive defenseman, and you can never have enough of those guys on your roster. So I think that, you know, if they run into some injury situations where more than one guy is injured at a time, and depending on how well Poolman shows in the AHL, I think he'll get the call up. He'll get the look, because he can go up and down through the roster without having to go through waivers. In his last year of NCAA, his third year, he had 38 games, 7 goals, 23 assists for 30 points. So almost a point a game player as a defenseman in the NCAA. That's pretty impressive. And as we mentioned, his Fantrax ownership is only 14%. So this is a guy that if you own him, if you're one of the 14%, you're probably in a pretty deep prospect league. So you absolutely want to hold on to this guy. And if you're looking at him for your upcoming prospect draft, again, not sure how much NHL time he's going to see, if any. But if you can hold guys and sit on them and cook them for a while in your prospect bench, then this is a player I think you want to own. If you look behind him in the depth chart, I don't really see a lot coming up behind him that makes me nervous that they're going to chip away from his offensive ice time when he gets there. Luke Green, Logan Stanley, you know, we bang on Logan Stanley a lot. He's going to make the NHL, but he's not going to take away the power play minutes and get the offensive zone starts. Those will go to Poolman. Sammy Niku maybe. But it's pretty thin after that, right? Like, they don't have any blue chip prospects coming on defense.
Yeah, and his competition for that bottom pairing spot is Toby Enstrom, and he's injured right now, so he's going to be coming off a surgery. I can't think of what it was, but I think it happened just before the expansion draft, so he might not be 100% healthy by the time training camp comes around, so that might be a benefit for Tucker Poolman to put his name in on that list.
Opens that door just a little bit wider, doesn't it?
And that's all these prospects need, is just a door open to show what they got. And if they play their 100%, then they most likely will make the team. But it's that opportunity that most of these guys need.
Yeah, so those are the top three Jets players I had that I think if you're sitting on the fence, or if you're looking for someone to make the jump, or really just interesting prospects that were worthy of some lip service on the show. But the Jets have a pretty deep roster, dude. They got a bunch of other players that, played up to half the season last year in the NHL, but I still consider them prospects. But they got their work cut out for them if they're going to, bust into fantasy relevance. So guys like Nick Batan, who's 75% owned, he played 54 games, but only had 13 points and was a minus 13. So he's a little offensive forward, and if he's not scoring in their top six, in my opinion, he's not going to make it. So that's a tough one there. He's got his work cut out for him. We talked about where we see him on the depth chart. Fourth line center. He's got to basically knock Brian Little out of a top six spot. Or maybe if they go with, three offensive forward lines, or maybe if he shifts to the wing, there's maybe some opportunity on left wing in Winnipeg if Kyle Connor doesn't pan out. But I'd say the deck is stacked against Patan to crack the top six. Another guy that I like that's only 10% owned is JC LaPone. So this is a bangers and mash winger, right? Like, he's not going to play in the top six, but he's an aggressive, grindy winger. And if you're in a deep league that has the multi-cap roto head-to-head and all that, and you're scoring hits and blocks and penalty minutes, they've got opportunity on the fourth line. And a guy like LaPone could carve himself out a roster spot on the fourth line and play himself, 12 minutes a night and contribute you in your greasy stats categories. And if you're in a cap league, of course, he would be very cap friendly, cheap roster player. And if you do daily settings, you can move him up and down in your roster because he'll have minor eligibility for the whole season. Because he doesn't have any games in the NHL yet. So that's, if you're in the really deep leagues, that's someone to look at. Same thing, exact same thing with Brendan Lemieux, although he's much more widely owned at 46%. And then similar to Patan, Marco Dano played 38 games last year, only had 7 points. This is a prospect that a lot of people have been pretty high on. He's bounced around a little bit, came from Chicago. So the jury's out if he's going to make it as a full-time NHLer or not.
Yeah, and he was widely drafted in the expansion drafts. That cap friendly had over 70,000 or something ridiculous of drafts, and Marco Dano was one of the top guys taken from Winnipeg. So they thought he was going to go to Vegas, but Vegas ended up passing and going a different direction. So Dano was definitely high on everybody's expectations. So his ownership is likely to go up.
Yeah, my opinion on him, I mean, he's had a couple opportunities to really break the NHL and hasn't really seized the opportunity yet. But to your point in the Vegas mock drafts, people know him. People have a high opinion of him. If I owned him, I'd be looking to trade that asset. If you can get value for what he's currently rated at, generally speaking, today, I think that's a sell-high opportunity. Because if he doesn't make it, you're getting a good return on that asset now, because a lot of people think that he will, and I'm not necessarily one of those people. So that covers the Jets. Let's shift gears, Paul, and let's do Dallas. Let's talk about the Dallas Stars. So you did some research on some of these guys. So let's start with Devin Shore. I'd like to hear your take on Shore.
Yeah, before we get into the forwards, before July 1st, I was really excited for some of these Dallas prospects to come up, but then they ended up signing Radulov, they signed Martin Hanzel, who might not fit into a top two role, but he'll probably be on the third line and could jump into the second line and could play some power play time, so they definitely have guys that are going to take away a lot of ice time. So before July 1st, I was real excited about like Devin Shore and a couple of the other guys we'll mention, but now that they've made those signings, it's kind of lowered my expectations on these guys. So Devin Shore, 68% owned in Fantrax. He has a lot more. There is a lot more offense in the lineup, so he may get pushed down to a third line. But I have a feeling he could get a chance with Spezza on the second line and if he does find chemistry, he could stay there for longer periods of time. And he might not stay there the entire season, but when he gets his chance to play with Jason Spezza, he's likely going to be able to show off his offense and find a role, and I think that could happen midway through the year, but I don't think that's where he starts. I think he'll start on a third-line role.
So, speaking of signings, they added Martin Hanzel. Do you think he plays third-line center? And then you've also got Radek Faksa at center. So Spezza might shift to the wing. There's a possibility that the Spez dispenser goes on the right side. They're a little thin on the right side.
Yeah, that could happen. Maybe Hansel moves over there to not take up, like, he could probably easily move just as much as Spezza, but it'll probably depend on who's got the better face-off percentages and who they feel more confident with face-offs. Or maybe they go Hansel as a third and Faxa as a fourth, or I don't know. They're really deep up the middle, so maybe they just play all four as 1-2-3-4, and that'll give a lot more offensive upside to some of these wingers that we're talking about.
Yeah, okay. So let's talk a little bit more about wingers. Let's do the right side. Brett Ritchie is a prospect that I'm really interested in. I've liked him for a long time, and he's had some injuries, and he's had a little bit of difficulty cracking the NHL roster and graduating from the AHL, but it looks like he did it last year. Is that where you see him full-time NHL now?
Yeah, I see him in the NHL full-time, and that's why he's on this list. He's 69% owned, so he's still available out in a lot of leagues. So if you can get your hands on Brett Ritchie, I definitely would. He's the future of the Stars. He got some time with Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin when they were both healthy, but I really like this guy too. I have a little bit of a worry that he's not going to get enough playing time to make up for putting up some big numbers. He has the capability of putting up big numbers. It's just that ice time. The ice time is going to be a big concern for a lot of these guys. And with a new coach coming in, I just don't know where they're going to pencil him in. But I would hope he hits that second line, either Devin Shore or Brett Ritchie, and maybe plays with Spezza on the second line.
Yeah, the coaching change is a really relevant point you just made. Coaches have their guys. They've got players that they're just comfortable with and that they give a lot of ice time to. And with a new coach coming in, all those preconceived notions about which players are sure to get the roster, I mean, obviously Sagan and Ben and the Stars and the guys with the contracts that command that they get ice time will get ice time. But, you know, guys like the players that we're talking about, Ritchie and Devin Shore, these guys don't have contracts that ensure that they that they're going to play top 6 minutes. So it's up to them to get it. So that's a really good point. Another guy on the right side is Denis Gurianov. What's the update on Gurianov?
He played for the Texas Stars last year, 27 points in 57 games, which is a pretty good outing for his first year in the AHL. I have a feeling he's going to be back in the AHL and will be the first guy called up or the second guy called up. And with the injuries that Tyler Seguin went through last year and Jamie Benn's gone through the past couple of years, these guys are injury prone. So I have a feeling that Gurianov's going to get 20, 30 games in the NHL this year and be a full-time guy within the year after the 2018-19 season. So keep Gurianov on your prospect farm team. If you got a farm team, I would maybe take him as a late round flyer, the very last pick of your redraft league, just for the chance. And if he doesn't make the team at a camp, then you can drop him and pick up the hot guy coming out of training camp. So Gurianov is 79% owned, so he's definitely available in redraft leagues, maybe some keeper leagues. I would put Gurianov on the very late round pick.
All right, let's talk left wing now. So the top three roster spots, top four roster spots, seem to be going towards Ben, Roussel, probably Curtis McKenzie, and Matthias Janmark. They got a bunch of rookies who will be competing for positions. Remy Ely, Jason Dickinson, maybe Rupins, Cole Ollie. So which, if of the rookies that I just mentioned there, which one do you think has the best chance to crack the roster?
I think Dickinson does, but then I go back to thinking about the coach, and he did that with the coach last year. He scored 2 goals in the 10 games he played near the end of the season. It might have been at the very end of the season. I think Dickinson has the chance to be able to play on that fourth line spot and still be able to put up maybe a couple goals, maybe a couple assists, some hits, some face-off wins, and if he needs to move into the face-off circle. I would take Dickinson out of those three guys, and he's 68% owned, so he's definitely on people's keeper lists.
Yeah, I agree. Watched him, both he and Remy Ely play in the OHL, so I know those guys pretty well. I think they're both capable of playing in the NHL, but I think Dickinson probably has the better offensive upside of the bunch. All right, Dallas has got a bunch of prospects that they got a deep roster now. They've added those free agents and whatnot, acquisitions in the offseason that you spoke about. On the left side, the players we just spoke about at center, Gemmell Smith had an audition last season and didn't look out of place. And then on the wing, they added Tyler Pitlick, who we spoke about on our previous episode. That was a good signing. And on defense, they've got a lot of D. I don't even know where to start with the D. It's too many to discuss. So let's wrap up the... let's talk about one of the D. Let's talk about Esa Lindell. He's probably the most likely defenseman to graduate. What do you think about Lindell?
Yeah, you talked about contracts and some of the guys having contracts already and other guys playing for a contract and not having the opportunity to just be in the lineup because their contract's already signed. But Esa Lindell signed a contract at the end of June of this year, $2.2 million per year for 2 years. So he's a guy that has a contract that's going to get playing time, and I'm pretty sure that's going to be a second pairing. They did bring in Mark Methot, which is kind of a worry because he's left defense, so he's not a worry in the offensive sense, but he's going to take ice time, and ice time is the main part that you want from a fantasy defenseman. You want a guy on the ice 20, 25, 30 minutes a game, and Mark Methot's doing that, but he's not the offensive side. So Esa Lindell's probably at the top of the prospect depth chart on defense, but you got like Julius Honka, Jamie Oleksiak, Steven Johns, like Patrick Nemeth. They got a ton of guys that are really close to making the team, and I think Esa Lindell's contract is the main reason why he's going to get the most playing time out of these guys. So I would look for him, keep him on your keeper list, and definitely target him on dynasties if you can.
I would say Esa Lindell as well. I think Methot and Klingberg are going to be a top pairing, and they're going to hope that they're going to get that same kind of magic that he had with Carlson.
Yep.
Ham Hughes and Lindell could be the second pairing, and then you've got your options between if Julius Honka can crack the roster, Steven Johns, Patarin, Oleksiak, Nemeth, and then Gavin Bayreuther, who they signed as a free agent out of the NCAA, likely plays in the AHL full-time and gets a lot of minutes during the pro game, but if he transitions quickly, he could be another player that's vying for ice time or at least popcorn serving in the press box.
Yeah, an outside chance of Miro Heiskanen, who they drafted this year, third overall, which... They didn't really need any more defensemen because their depth is so large, but they didn't want to pass up Miro at number three. So he's got an outside chance at a training camp. I'm pretty sure he's close to NHL ready, but I don't think they want to rush him, and they'll use their other prospects. But beware that camp battle.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that they'd hesitate to play him in the NHL if they thought he's ready. But they're not going to play him in the NHL and then make him a healthy scratch most nights and play him, 6 minutes a game or something like that. If he's in, he's in.
Exactly. And if you want to hear more about NHL draft picks from this year, we're doing a July 31 and 31 series covering all the entry picks for each team. They get published July 1st all the way to July 31st. So with Winnipeg, they will be published July 31st on DauberProspects.com. And Dallas already has theirs out. It was posted July 10th. So check those out, and every other team is going to be posted as well. It's going in alphabetical order, so if you're waiting for your team, just figure it out where your team's going to fall on the day, and check out those articles.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about two more teams in the East and the prospects that they have on the break.
All right, let's shift focus to the Eastern Conference. We're going to be talking about the Florida Panthers and the New York Rangers. Let's start off with the Florida Panthers, and I think one of their biggest prospects that kind of came out of nowhere, Jace Hauerluck. He's a second-year pro, 63% owned in Fantrax. He had 26 points in 47 games in his his first year in the AHL. He could get a chance if injuries occur in the top nine. But Florida picked up some really decent talent in the offseason that it's going to be hard to crack the lineup with a lot of these young guys.
Yeah, so Howerlux, he's a right wing. He could benefit from another year in the minors, playing in the AHL for sure. The signing of Dadonov, I think he's their first line right winger now. They also signed Verbata, so there's your first and second line. Sevier, after that, you're going to have some pretty strong competition on the right side in training camp. We talked a little bit about Henrik Hapala in the last episode. What do you have to add about Hapala today, Paul?
He's coming over from Finland, and he had 60 points in 51 games in the Liga. He's only 34% owned on Fantrax. That's the key point I want to point out, because a lot of these guys that we've talked about are 60-plus, 80-plus, but Hapala is 34%, so I think that he's going under the radar with a lot of fantasy owners, or maybe people haven't done their entry draft yet, and he's probably going to be a part of that. But I really think you should focus in on Henrik Hapala maybe in the second round of your entry draft if a lot of guys are getting drafted that have been drafted in the NHL. I think Hapala is going to be a dark horse, and he could take that Jager spot. I think Dadonov came over, and he's probably going to get that Jager hole that they need to fill, but then there's the role of Marchessault, Riley Smith that also needs to be filled. And Marchessault was a 30-goal scorer, so those 30 goals have got to be moved to somewhere. And I think Radim Verbata is actually going to be a third-line guy. I don't think he's going to be a second-line guy and be able to keep up with Trocheck and Bjugstad. So I really think Hapala might steal that second-line spot. And if he has a great training camp, he's going to be moved into the one or two spot in the lineup.
Yeah, a lot of the talk coming out of Florida is they're turning the keys over to the kids and the rookies, and they're going to sink or swim with their young kids, and it's time for them to take the step. They're looking for them to do what, you know, the Leafs prospects and rookies did last year. So a player that he's going to have to compete with, this is Hapala on the left side, is Dennis Malgin. That's going to be a tough battle. What do you think about Malgin?
Yeah, he had 47 games last year and only 10 points, and I have him in the DPFHL, and I had a hard time getting him into the lineup. He stayed mostly in my farm system, but I think he's going to get a better chance this year. He's a year older. He's a whole lot stronger than his previous year, and I think he's got to show the coaches that he has offense to his game, but he's going to have to do it early and often, because he is going up against Henrik Hapala, who's already been playing with men for a long time, and Dadonov obviously already has a roster spot with his $4 million. So I think Dennis Melgan's going to have a big competition, but if he can come out of training camp hot, you might be able to jump on him early and get some of those early production numbers that he might put up.
Interesting. Okay, so let's shift to defense. Last summer, Florida signed a defenseman, Linus Holmström, a good offensive defenseman, a little bit on the short side. Came over, participated in training camp, and they decided to send him back to Europe for the year. What do you think the chances are that he cracks the roster this year? What's the update on Linus Holmström?
I think he's going to have a real good opportunity to make the lineup. They have probably their top five. Michael Matheson looked decent, but he didn't get as much ice time as I thought, and I think that's going to be his main competitor, and maybe try and fight with Alex Petrovic and Mark Bysik for a bottom pairing role. But I think he might end up being a number seven and kind of be in the press box rotating with the bottom guys. So you might not want to target him early, but he might be a late round guy that you can probably grab. And he's a half point to 0.75 point player in the SHL. So the Panthers are looking for more offense. He's going to be the guy that they look for. And he's only 20% owned in Fantrax.
If he comes to the North America, he's probably going to want to play in the NHL, because he could have played in the NHL last year or went back home. So his competition could be guys like Mackenzie Weegar, Michael Downing, Ian Nikoshin for the 7th D, the guy that practices with the team, plays when there's an injury, first to go on the roster. Anyone else on Florida that you think might have an outside shot at cracking the roster?
Yeah, the Panthers have really looked for European players to come across the pond and play. The Hapala, Dadanov, Holtstrom could come back over. Sebastian Repo has a good shot at a bottom six role that could move into a top six within a year or two. But beware of Sebastian Repo, 9% owned in Fantrax, so he's widely available.
Yes, but he wasn't a free agent signing. He was drafted, and they've just recently signed him to a contract. So that would indicate that, you know, they like what they see. He's got good size. He's a 96 born, so he's a few years older than, you know, some of the other prospects. Been playing pro, could be ready to make the jump to the NHL, but I think you're right. He's a watch list kind of guy.
Yeah, 32 points in 46 games with Tapera of the Liga, so not too bad from the back end.
Right.
All
right,
let's move on to the New York Rangers. They're the big-time guy, Pavel Buchnevich.
Yeah, so their top prospect is a pretty good one, but unfortunately for the Rangers, it thins out pretty hard after that. So Buchnevich is a guy who's pretty widely owned, 92% owned in Fantrax. He made the jump to the NHL full-time last year, but was limited to 41 games, mainly because of injuries. Kind of had a disappointing season, only 8 goals, 20 points. But, I mean, the kid was suffering from some back injuries. So if you own Buchnevich, I would absolutely strongly recommend holding on to him. Back injuries can be a chronic injury, and that is concerning for sure. But, yeah, he's young. Young people bounce back from these things, and so they don't have a lot else coming up from behind pushing him on the depth chart. So hold on to Buchnevich.
Yeah, I agree with that. He looked fantastic before he got his injury last year, so I wouldn't be too concerned about that injury.
Right. So another guy on the Rangers up front, on the left side, Ryan Gropp finished off his junior eligibility, unless he goes back as an overager, which I highly doubt, is a player that's going to be turning pro. In his final season with Seattle last year, in 66 games, he had 84 points, 35 goals. So that's pretty good. He's got great size, 6'2", 187. Looking on the Rangers on the left side, you've got Kreider, Vesey, Grabner as your top three lines. And at the moment, they don't really have anything that strikes me as competition outside of Matt Pumple for the fourth spot. And then they got a bunch of rookies. So, if Pumple's had some looks in the NHL, and some of those looks haven't looked great. So if Gropp can come up and play in the AHL and transition smoothly into pro hockey, he might get a call-up. Matt Pumple might find himself in the press box again. So Gropp is a player who's only 31% owned in Fantrax at the moment, and that number is going to increase this season, would be my prediction. So get on Gropp early if you can.
All right, let's head to the back end with a couple of guys. Going to have probably butcher this name, but Sergei Zborovsky.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce that name much better either. So the Rangers got 3D that you're going to want to look at. We already talked at length about Anthony DeAngelo, and in the very last episode, we talked about their NCAA signing of Neil Pionk. So don't forget about those guys. But we didn't really mention Sergei Zborovsky. So this is a guy who's not, obviously he's Russian, but he didn't play in Russia last year. He's come from the WHL. And in his third season, I believe it was, with the Regina Pats, the guy played 63 games, and he had 40 points and 64 penalty minutes, and he was a plus 72.
Wow.
That's amazing. He's got size, 6'4", 194. It's hard to do research on the CHL and get, you know, categories like hits and blocks. But I imagine that, 40 points in 60 games, 64 penalty minutes. So he's a penalty minute a game, and, penalty minutes in junior just aren't what they used to be, even in the dub. So I would say he's got a nice blend of, offensive fantasy value, and, you want your defense to get you some hits and blocks and penalty minutes as well, if you've got the multi-cap roto leagues. So He's only 17% owned, and he's turning pro. So this is a player I think is widely unowned in fantasy, widely unowned unknown, I should say, in hockey talk. So trying to shed a little spotlight on Sergei Zobrovsky, and doesn't have a lot of competition because he plays for the Rangers.
Yeah, the Rangers are pretty slim on prospects. Let's move on to your other defenseman that you wanted to highlight, a guy that spent 2 years in the AHL. Is he going to make the jump to the NHL, or is he going to be an AHL-NHL mix kind of guy? Ryan Graves.
Yeah, so I own Ryan Graves in one or two of my pools. He was an AHL All-Star in his rookie season. 76 games last year, 30 points, minus 17. But, you know, don't worry about the minus 17 because Hartford, you know. And then, yeah, the plus 72 for Zobrovsky was great. But, I mean, he played for Regina. They were dominant. So take that with a grain of salt, too. Getting back to my boy Graves, 6'4", 227. Going to get you the greasy stats that I just spoke about from your back end, hits and blocks and all that. He's a good defensive defenseman who's got some offensive upside, skates very well. His ownership is a little bit higher. It's 43%. But, I mean, he's already had two full seasons of AHL seasoning under his belt. And I know that the Rangers really like him. So I think this is a player that has an opportunity to take the next step should a position come along. They just signed Shattenkirk, so that takes a position away. You've got McDonough, Brady Shea, Shattenkirk, Brendan Smith, Holden and Mark Stahl all ahead of him on the depth chart. Anthony DeAngelo is a player that they're going to turn to if they want to get some offense from the back end. But if they want a more well-rounded game, you're going to be looking at probably one of Pionk, Graves, or Zobrovsky, I think. Maybe Alexei Bergzalov. Again, I don't know how to pronounce the Russian names, and I don't know so much about that guy. So they do have some competition on defense and some options there with the Rangers.
And that's pretty much it for Rangers prospects to talk about. That's how deep, not deep, their roster, their prospect depth chart is. Four, five, maybe six guys that we could bring up, and they need to do a little bit of work on their drafting.
They do have some other prospects, but I don't know if these are guys that are going to make it this year. Igor Shesterkin, Sean Day, they've got some other prospects, but not much that, you know, is on the cusp of breaking out. And they just lost Nicholas Jensen's. No.
Nicholas Jensen signed to the KHL.
Yeah, Joker sorry. Yeah, so he's a player that they got as a throw-in in a trade from Vancouver, and he looked like a total bust. And then he comes over to the Rangers organization and plays for their AHL team, and all of a sudden rediscovers his scoring touch, becomes fantasy-relevant, watch-list-worthy again, and now he signs a one-year deal in the KHL. So I guess cool your jets on Nicholas Jensen.
Yeah, and he has an option for a second year, and he's still owned by the Rangers. They kept their rights because they sent him a qualifying offer, and he ended up signing with the KHL. So he will still be a Rangers property if he does come back.
Yeah.
If you want to hear about their entry draft picks, you can read about them in our July 31 and 31 series. The Rangers will be published on July 20th on DauberProspects.com, and the Florida Panthers that we covered a bit earlier, they will be out July 13th, so by the time this is published, it'll be on our prospects page, dauberprospects.com. When we come back from the break, Peter, you caught up with Sheng Peng from the entry draft in June, and you guys discussed a couple Los Angeles Kings. So when we come back from the break, we'll have that.
Spend my days with a woman and kind, smoke my stuff and drink all my wine. Made up my mind, make a new start, going to California with an AKM.
All right, so we're back on Dauber Prospects. We're talking LA Kings now and some prospects who might be on the brink of becoming fantasy relevant. And fortunately, I had an opportunity to catch up with our former Dauber Prospects writer, Shang Peng, who covers the LA Kings for Hockey Buzz and the Hockey News, and he writes for a few other sites as well. Follow him on Twitter at Sheng_Peng, Sheng underscore Peng. So some of the players that we talk about are Alex Iafallo. He's a center coming out of NCAA, Minnesota Duluth, free agent signing. 51 points in 42 games last year. He may have a chance to crack the roster in a year or two, but probably needs a little AHL seasoning. Sheng was really high on Johnny Brodzinski, so he'll talk to you a little bit about him. And some other LA Kings prospects that we've spoke about recently on the podcast that we don't talk to Sheng so much about, you can go back and listen to, would be Boko Amama, Stepan Falkovsky, Paul Ledoux, and Cal Peterson. But so for the most part, this interview with Sheng took place at the NHL draft just a few weeks ago in late June. And let's get Sheng's opinion on who the relevant prospects are for your fantasy hockey pool on the LA Kings.
All right, let's talk some Kings prospects. Let's maybe stay away from the draft because they're a little bit away, but there's some guys on the Kings roster who are a little bit closer. The first guy, and I'm a big fan of him, is Paul Ledoux. Mm-hmm. I think he's ready to make a move and play full-time and have fantasy upside.
Yep.
What do you tell us about Ledoux?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's a guy, last year he impressed, a great puck mover, very calm and poised with the puck. In terms of his fantasy outlook, I think maybe second unit power play too. Second pairing, I mean, and second unit power play. That's kind of his upside.
Yeah. Okay, the top prospect, Adrian Kempe. Mm-hmm. He's on the brink of playing full-time in the NHL. Is he a better NHL player than a fantasy player?
Yeah, there's a good chance of that. Because even if you look at his AHL stats, you know, they're not going to wow you. I'm just making or just pulling this number out of the air, but I think he scored maybe 20-ish goals in 100-plus AHL games. So, I mean, it's fine.
Good, but not great.
Yeah, good, but not great. And so you watch him, though. He's an electric skater, one of the fastest skaters in the organization. And he will occasionally make a special play that wows you and makes you think that, hey, you know, this guy has something, you know, something really special. But that's very occasional, and he has some focus issues and that sort of thing. So I'm not sure if he's going to have too much fantasy value. I think, he could be a solid third liner. He has a chance of being a second line player.
What about Greedy Stats, Spangers and Mash hits? He's a big guy.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
But does he use it?
You know, he's not afraid of physicality. You know, he'll go to the dirty areas, but you know, he is known for kind of a nice board or two, at least at AHL level. So he'll give you that. But he's not going to be like a big time, like, you know,
he's not going to get any minutes.
Yeah. He's not going to
100 hits.
He's not going to clock like a 150 hits. Maybe 100. 100's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, a couple of wingers who are we've got ranked 2-3, Michael Mersch, mm-hmm. Mike Amadio, and even Spencer Watson, I think. Are any of these guys close?
Well, Mersch is close. The problem is Mersch has a lot of skating difficulty, and Mersch, I believe, is 23, 24 now, and so it's kind of might be too late for him to really improve it at a level that's going to be NHL caliber. So if you can get an extra step, then absolutely Mersch is great in front of the net. Like I said, below the dots, he's terrific. So if you can improve that, then he does have a chance of a second unit power play kind of guy, 20 goals. He has excellent hands too. But the skating is so oppressive, and like I said, he's older. With Watson, Watson's thing is size. You know, Watson is tiny, so 5'8 or so. And also, too, he's not the swiftest guy. They do like his hands, but we'll see how he adjusts to Ontario, which he should be joining them this coming year.
Yeah, he played overage.
His
first real third of the season with injury. And he's got to stay healthy is another thing for him, too.
Right.
Okay, let's go back to D, and let's talk real quick about Kale Clegg. I believe he's more of an offensive defenseman.
Yes.
Have you had a chance to see? Where did he play last year? Did he play in Ontario?
Last year he played for, not for Ontario. He played for the Wheat Kings, Brandon Wheat Kings.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. So what's the ETA on him, would you say?
I would say it's a couple of years from him, but he's progressing well. He, you know, impressed at the role of the juniors. We all saw that. And, kind of a not the normal kind of, you know, Kings player, so to speak, but he definitely has some good offensive upside. It's, like I said, he's a couple years away, so it's tough to say, but I can see him, again, like a Maybe even first unit power play. Yeah, that's not impossible for him. So
worth the wait, huh?
Yeah,
be patient.
Be.
Worth
yeah.
the wait.
Yeah, I mean he wouldn't be like one of the prime defensive prospects out there in the NHL, but he's definitely the best on the Kings, and he has a shot for sure. Yeah, for something
right.
special.
Do you got any sleeper pick? Maybe you can hook us up with a prospect off
dear.
The radar on LA.
Who,
maybe that guy, Mike Glassman?
Well, actually, the guy to look at might be Johnny Brodzinski. Johnny
okay.
Brodzinski's got a killer shot. He's got a elite-level shot, NHL elite-level shot, I would say. And so the question with Brodzinski is he's a little bit slight. He's a little bit small. He's quick, but he's not... You know, just normal questions for a lot of scorers as they transition from the AHL to the NHL. You know, will they be able to find the space and time at a level when the checking's a lot tighter and everybody's faster? But if he's able to, he has a lethal shot. And so he's a guy that I could see definitely being like one of a 20-goal guy, a perennial 20-goal guy, if he can find the space on ice.
He's a winger?
He's a winger, yeah.
He's got great hockey names too, right? Johnny
yeah.
Brodzinski.
He does. Actually,
I want a Johnny Brodzinski jersey.
His brother, Mikey Brodzinski, plays for the San Jose organization.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a younger brother, Bryce Brodzinski, that I believe is going to be in St. Cloud State this coming year. And they all learn how to shoot. that's a Brodzinski family trait.
Nice. So, last question: yeah. Goaltending. Who's going to be who's going to back up Quick next year? And have they got any prospects?
Oh dear Lord!
To be excited about. They got to address that hole.
Yeah, I mean Jack Campbell did play very well in Ontario last year. You know, he resuscitated his career after he flamed out in Dallas. So he's definitely going to be an option to back up Quick. But you know, we saw last year when when Quick got hurt and then Zakhoff got hurt, that you know you want another goalie. You don't want to put all your hopes on just one backup, right?
Yeah.
So they're going
to
yeah. So I would be shocked if they didn't go after a veteran backup this summer. I'm not sure who though.
No one's ready to graduate, huh?
Oh no. Yeah. After Campbell, they literally have. I'm at a
sensing
loss.
A nothing coming.
Yeah. Okay. No. They have a Jack Flynn who's a undrafted. Undrafted free agent who was shuttling between ECHL and AHL. He backed up Campbell a lot. He's a huge guy. He's like 6'6", but his future prospects, people aren't really, you know, super, you know, I don't think people are super high on it.
I was just looking to see if LA they drafted a goalie this year, but
LA is definitely looking for
maybe
a goalie.
Maybe they'll fill
this year.
That hole today.
Yeah,
huh?
They'll definitely fill that hole today, but they don't have a lot of young goaltending at all, though. And then they had a guy, Bartosak. You know, Patrick Bartosak was drafted, I think, pretty high a few years ago, but he had a domestic violence incident, so he's back playing in the Czech Republic. So he's not coming back, so.
All right. Shank, tell our listeners where they can find your writing now that it's no longer on DP. On
sure.
Twitter?
My Twitter is at Shang _Peng, S-H-E-N-G _P-E-N-G. And you can also find my work at LAKings.com, NBC Asian America, Vice Sports. I try to be everywhere.
You're a good tweeter to follow. So thanks very much for your time, bud.
All right, Peter. Great job landing Shang Peng at the entry draft. Really good insight on the Los Angeles Kings prospects. And thanks again, Shang Peng, for giving us some of his time to talk prospects. We also can't forget to thank you, the listener, for tuning in as well. Please make sure to give us a follow at DPR_show on Twitter and send us your prospect questions and your ranking lists. We're happy to answer them. Just a quick note on our podcast, we're going to be on vacation for the next couple weeks. We will return with our summer series at the beginning of August, so we will be on hiatus, but we will come back. That's it for now. Talk to you soon, Peter.
Cheers.